Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey, who is traveling with her children this week. It is a pleasure to be with you again for another terrific episode. We have some great guests lined up with some really interesting topics, and it is Easter week. Easter falls on April 1st or April Fool's Day. I wish you all a happy Easter, as well as the staff and team here at Mom Talk Radio wish you all a happy Easter, as well as Passover. Passover started last week, and it runs through this week, April 7th. So happy Passover. Do you say happy Passover? I apologize if we don't. I should have looked that up. My apologies. And anyway, it is a holy week for many of us. And it's also a fun week when we dig into the Easter baskets. And we have had a long-running debate, Al, our producer, and I, about the best candy out there, what our favorite is. And unfortunately, Al, who used to like Reese's, has now developed a sensitivity to peanuts or peanut butter, so he can't eat his Reese's. And I'm very sorry about that, Al. My favorite is a very polarizing candy, the black jelly bean. Do you like the black jelly bean? I love them. And it's obviously it's a very strong flavor, but people either love it or they hate it. I love it. And of course, I love anything chocolate. So Reese's or Kit Kats or Twix bars, Baby Ruth are actually my favorite that I steal from the Halloween baskets. So I hope the Easter Bunny brought your little ones everything they wanted in their baskets. I actually have a tradition in my household, and a couple of us here as well in the Mom Talk Radio offices have a tradition where I give my children more toys, and as they age up too, I give them also their summer swimsuits and usually a beach towel. I started it when, my kids were getting a little older, and I wanted to just get something different in the basket besides all the candy. And then I have some, my athletes in the family as well. I give them volleyball, and I have soccer ball, and my little one is into dance, so I'll try to figure something out. So that's what we try to do to make it a different Easter basket. But again, of course, the candy, and I always buy what I like. So to all those who like black jelly beans out there, I'm with you. And I want to quickly mention before our first guest, our two sponsors. We have Premama, who is at drinkpremama.com. And it's the powdered prenatal vitamin that you can put in your favorite drink, a cold drink, a beverage, or smoothies are a good one, yogurt, anything non-carbonated. And they also have a fertility and lactation formula, as well as a digestive aid and everything you need for a complete maternity wellness. It is doctor recommended vitamins and nutrients. And you can find drinkpremama.com or at CVS, Target, Amazon, and specialty vitamin stores. You can also follow Drink Premama on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our other sponsor is new for this month, Sleep Buddy. Go to sleepbuddy.com. This is the complete sleep system that helps you basically if your child is transitioning from a crib to a bed or is already in a bed and won't stay in the bed all night and or for nap times. This is a great system. It comes with very soothing nightlight. And it also comes with a parent guide and a reward chart. And the founder and creator of Sleep Buddy is Laura Swartz, who is the mother of 7 children. And she's put together this parenting guide. She's actually a certified sleep expert. So you get a lot of bang for your money in this Sleep Buddy. It is available on Amazon, and I believe it's under $50. So it's really a great value for your sleep, a good night's sleep, which is always priceless. We're going to take a quick break. We're joined first by our guest, Elise McGregor. She is the founder of Little Newtons, a child care center focusing on early childhood education. After this quick break, we'll be right back.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
To kick off this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Elise McGregor. She is the founder of Little Newtons at littlenewtons.com. It is an exceptional child care center focusing on early childhood education, 4 locations in Minnesota and 1 in Illinois. And she is the author of an upcoming book, Creating Brilliance. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Elise.
Thank you.
You also have a nursing degree and a BS in exercise physiology, so you've got a lot of great experience. And tell us a little bit about Little Newtons, when it was founded, and what our listeners want to know about child care education at and age ranges that you accept.
Yeah, I started the program in 2009, and I founded it actually because I felt that the age groups of 0 to 5 were the most important for a child. And so we should be structuring learning and really focusing on those age groups. And we start as early as 6 weeks and we go up to 5 years. We teach them Spanish, French, Italian, Mandarin, sign language. They learn all kinds of things.
That's wonderful. So up to, do they have DPK or anything like that in Minnesota and Illinois, or no? We're in Florida, yeah. So I don't know what other states do.
We do pre-K, and so when they leave our program, we do have one site that has a private kindergarten, but when they leave our program, they go into kindergarten in whatever respective school district they go into.
Right, right. Okay. What do you think, as you said, you found there was a need for 0 to 5, what do you think is lacking in terms of education for current pre-K systems or pre-K years?
You know, the 90% of a child's brain develops between 0 and 5. And so we really focus on literacy. And I feel like literacy and mathematics are the two things that they don't have a strong foundation of going into kindergarten. And teaching children how to read has taught me how actually difficult it is to learn to read, especially in the English language. And I feel like when we're starting to teach them how to read in kindergarten, if a lot of their pre-primary education has been more play-based or not very strong literacy-based, it's very challenging to pick up the different letter sounds and the blends and how all that fits together. So we really focus on that even as young as our toddlers.
Oh, that's great. So let's talk about your upcoming book, Creating Brilliance. And congratulations, by the way. I know that's quite an undertaking to write and publish a book. What is it? What is Creating Brilliance about?
It's about the whys behind why I feel so strongly about this age group, what Little Newtons does in developing the curriculum. And it has some humor, and it just kind of put together how I feel and what I've seen with the children that have been in my program, what we should be doing with early childhood, because with the, you know, delayed start into kindergarten, then we're slowing down our education in general. And so that's what a lot of the book is how we can change education and really get these kids where they should be in kindergarten. That's not to say that we don't have fun. We have a lot of fun. And the kids are well balanced with education and play in our programs, but really focusing on how we can change education and get them to where they need to be in that realm.
Right. And I think when there needs to be more of a level playing field, I feel like, because if parents send their children to a school like yours, my youngest also went to a different preschool than my older two, it sounded just like yours. Like they did it, almost immersion in languages, and they ate organic, and they had a garden. There was just all kinds of things they were learning through play. And I feel like when she got to kindergarten, there was such a disparity, not such a disparity, but enough of a disparity where the teacher has to get those other kids. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to catch up. You know what I mean? And get to that level playing field.
So we teach, and we being just generalization, is we teach to the youngest level. So when you have children like, you know, your child or the children that are coming out of Little Newtons, they're reading before they go into kindergarten. However, there's children, and that's not a bad thing. It's just that there's children that go into kindergarten that don't know their ABCs. So how can we bring that lower level up to the higher level so that the teachers, it's hard to work backwards with a 5 or 6 year old that has not understood even letter sounds to get them to be reading, because that's what our education system requires.
Right. So if our children can't go to Little Newtons, what suggestions do you give to moms that are home with their little ones they're in a pre-K and they just want to supplement what they're learning in a pre-K or preschool environment?
You know, I think books, books, books. Like, it's so important to be reading with your children, and even the turning of the page and the author page and different aspects of reading a book is, again, adults take for granted that children don't even know what a book is until they're introduced that, and spending a lot of time with letter sounds. And we, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do is sitting with them and playing with cars, and we're teaching them the letter sounds of a truck or a car or, you know, move, those things, and they're learning by playing. And parents can do that at home, and it doesn't take you know, a strong curriculum or anything like that to be teaching them letter sounds. And I know with older children, a lot of people do like that street sign game when they're driving around, things like that, to really get their vocabulary and their literacy skills up is, I feel, imperative.
Right. So let's jump to quickly learning and socialization. We have about 1 minute to go. In terms of socialization in your child care centers, how do you think that, what's your take on that, and how would you address a parent who says, oh, they, you know, I don't need to worry about that?
I think it's very important. And I think learning rules and being able to work with other children and share and all of those things, again, we don't realize there are skills that the children have to learn, and they don't know if they're not in a setting where they have to share or they have to play with another child positively. They go into kindergarten not knowing those skills.
Right. So littlenewtons.com is your website. Creating Brilliance. Where can our listeners find that book?
That's actually on elisemcgregor.com.
Okay. It's A-L-I-S-E-M-C, McGregor, G-R-E-G-O-R.com. Thank you so much, Elise, and best of luck in all your endeavors. And when we take a quick break, after that break, we will be joined by Janelle Robinson with our Spotlight on Mom. Stay with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com.
Did you know that March is MS Awareness Month? Our next guest, Janelle Robinson, has two children, 14 and 3. She blogs at abreakformommy.com, and the 4 in there is the numeral 4, and tweets at the same. Janelle has been diagnosed with MS when her oldest daughter was 2, who's now 14, and she's going to talk about that with us, as well as some of her golden rules for parenthood. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Janelle.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
So tell us a little bit about your living with MS and being a busy mom. That's a lot.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2006. So that was at the prime of my life. I had just gotten my college degree. My daughter was 2. I was working. I had just been on my first job out of college for about 6 months, and then my left arm went numb, and I didn't think anything of it. I went on about my day, and then I was on my way to taking my daughter to go to daycare, and then I couldn't lift her. And I called my mom and I said, I'm going to go and drive to the emergency room. It's no big deal. I'm probably just tired. And I got there, and then they immediately just did an exam, looked me over. Everything from the exam was an immediate diagnosis. This is multiple sclerosis. They did an MRI, and I had, at the time, 7 lesions on my brain and 1 on my spine. And that told them, you have multiple sclerosis. So
wow.
I was in total shock. I'm young. I think at the time, maybe I was about, I think I had to be like 26, going on 27. And my mother came and she brought my daughter in the room with me, and she said, don't cry. So from that moment, I didn't even know how to process my feelings. I was trying to be a strong mother for my daughter, and I was trying to be strong for my mother. So I just held everything inside, and I don't think I processed it until probably a year later of what the diagnosis really was, because it was, when it hit me bad. I laid in the hospital bed, and from my left side of my arm, the other left side of my body, my legs, and every function just went numb, and then it started to creep up the right side of my body, and I lost all functioning on the right side of my body, except for within my hands. My fingertips were numb, everything. I had I just couldn't understand what was going on. So I just laid in the bed and I thought, what am I going to do? I have a 2-year-old. That was the main thing on my mind. And then I stayed in the hospital for about a week and I couldn't walk. They gave me a cane. They sent me home and they said, you'll start medication when the pharmacist called you. So I just was trying to find any information I could. How do I do this? I'm going to get better. So I just started braiding my daughter's hair every night to try to get functioning back in my fingers while I was going through physical therapy, learning to walk again, learning to hold her again. And that process took me about 6 to 8 months where I was fully functioning well again, enough to be able, we had to move back home with my mother. I felt like a child again. So after all of that, I just became strong. And I said, I'm going to teach mothers, no matter what, you can keep going. So that's when I started writing.
And was that when your blog was born?
That's when a blog was born, not a break from mommy, but a blog. A blog was born, and I started talking to parents about different resources and how to pursue your dreams, and because I wanted to go back to school. And then I did go back to school in 2009, and I lost my vision the day after I got my graduate's degree from MS again.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, Janelle. My goodness.
At the time it was terrible, but looking back on it, it has built me to be who I am. I was getting a degree in public health. I was doing everything I could to help people who had any type of health issues and help parents who had any child that may have had a disability. I was working with kids with autism. I felt great, but I wasn't taking proper care of myself. I ignored a headache that I had had for about a month, and that was my sign that something was wrong with my vision. So when I went to the doctor, then my vision was gone. So I took a break from blogging, and then I came back in 2015, and that's when A Break from Mommy was born. And that was about self-care and self-love and finding resources not only for your family but for yourself. So now the blog is it's full. I learned a lot. I learned you can pursue all of your dreams. You can have your family and put them first, but you also have to put yourself first.
That's right. Very good point. So it's A Break for Mommy with the numeral 4mommy.com. We only have about 30 seconds. Give me one golden rule as a busy mom. Your favorite.
My golden rule is to laugh out loud and always find something that makes you happy.
That's wonderful. And I just think your resilience and strength is amazing. So good luck to you. And I will be following abreakformommy.com and you tweet at abreakformommy. Thank you so much for joining us, Janelle, on Mom Talk Radio. And when we take a short break, we're joined by Dr. Brad Jennings, a board-certified orthodontist. We're going to be talking about braces. Stay with us.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Brad Jennings. We're going to be talking about the popular topic with parents of preteens and teens, which is braces. And even for yourself, actually, I know a few moms have even had their braces in the last few years because they had them when they were kids and didn't keep the retainer in. Right, Dr. Jennings?
All the time, every day of the week, pretty much.
Right? So if you're considering braces for you or your child, Dr. Jennings is a Houston orthodontist. His practice is private practice is Jennings Orthodontics. Can I say that again really fast? He's been in practice since 2004, attended Ole Miss and UT for dental school, and you've been named the favorite memorial orthodontist in Living Magazine. Congratulations.
Thank you. We try hard.
Yeah. So let's talk about the age ranges. I see kids, it seems like, getting younger and younger that are walking around with full braces, not just like a spacer or a retainer. Tell us when we should look for some key signs that our child needs to see an orthodontist.
And so, you know, most people think, including many dentists, think it's time for orthodontics when all the kids' adult teeth are in, which is usually around age 12. But many times, you know, waiting to get evaluated for the first time by an orthodontist, if you wait till 12 for that to happen, it could sometimes be a recipe for disaster. And I'll explain why. And so I like to check kiddos around 7 or 8. I, you know, honestly rarely do any thing at that age, but it helps me to identify the potential train wrecks out there, where if we don't catch them at the right time, we lose options in the future.
Right. So it's basically almost a preventative checkup.
Yes, and so you know, it could be as simple as getting a certain baby tooth out. Will head off a lot of problems. There are different orthodontists. You mentioned, you know, it seems like kids are getting treatment younger and younger. There's different orthodontists, different philosophies out there as well. You know, personally, I don't do a whole lot of, and that's called phase one treatment, the early treatment. Because there will eventually be a phase two when they get all their adult teeth in.
My oldest son had phase one and phase two, and he had, like, shark teeth.
Yeah, and so sometimes it's a hot mess in there, and it's really beneficial to do some early stuff. But, many times it's not needed, and it's just nice to watch and see, make sure there's nothing crazy going on x-rays that you really can't see. Just looking at the child.
Right. So when you get a pretty much a preteen, then you're saying by age 12, you want an early checkup first to just check and make sure there isn't anything big coming down the road. But what about the age that you should actually have the braces on a child?
Most kids that's around age, 12 or 13 when they get pretty much all of their adult teeth in. And, braces treatments usually around a couple of years. You can figure on that, and there's new treatments out there. Invisalign treatment with the clear aligners, and treatments average around about a year for that as well. And so we're getting new and better technology, newer, better options, and it's getting better, a lot better than when I had braces for sure.
Yeah, me too. So I was just actually with a group of mom friends a few weeks ago, and we were talking about it, and they had said that their orthodontists are almost 100% pushing Invisalign. And I don't mean pushing in a bad way. They're just, that's the way that the course of treatment is going. Do you see that in your practice? Do you promote one versus another? And how does a parent make the decision between, let's say, traditional braces and Invisalign?
Okay, great questions. So I don't push one versus the other, because in my office it just happens to be the same cost. So I'm not biased one way or the other.
Okay.
Some differences that I'm seeing between the two different types of treatments. So if you get your younger kids around 11, 12 age range, they get their teeth in. That age range, they're usually still excited about braces and getting colors on the braces. Colors is the only thing that matters to them. But it's the only thing they care about. And so, but once you get around 7th, 8th grade and you're approaching high school, the mystique of having braces has lost its luster. And they're looking for, how do I get in and out of this stuff as fast as I can? And so I don't want braces. And so I'm starting to see more and more of that. And so I've jumped in and become as well trained with using Invisalign treatment and their clear aligners as much as possible, so I can give that option to my high school kids.
Right.
And it's I'm seeing a huge change in my practice where it's almost 50-50 between braces and Invisalign. And so I give the patient the option, what do you want? And if they're on the same page with a mom or dad, whoever's in with them, get everybody on the same page so we know the pros and cons of each option, and then go from there.
I always thought it was more expensive. I have three. I have two out of braces and one that's about to go in them. She's 11. But I feel like the last time I talked to my son's orthodontist, it was so cost prohibitive to do Invisalign. So I'm glad that if it's an even playing field financially, I would say, again, you're right. High schoolers do not want to have, metal on their mouth. They want the clear ones. And I will say that the moms, there's two moms I know recently who just finished Invisalign. And I think adults, it's definitely a great option for adults.
Yes. No. In fact, some of them. I'm painted into a corner because they said it's an Invisalign treatment or nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So other benefits of braces that can make a real difference? Because they always, you hear all the time about like, you know, long-term health benefits and or let's say psychological benefits. What do you see?
Totally. And it's kind of, I'm in a fun business because I see kids as they develop a lot. But even mm-hmm. for adults, you know, having straight teeth contributes to having a good-looking smile. And studies have shown that nice smiles build self-esteem, and that's huge. And so I've seen it so many times when I finished treatment on a teen, and I've seen that they would never smile before. They're embarrassed in the beginning, and then at the end they'll beam ear to ear, and you mm-hmm. can't keep them quiet. And so they just come out of their shell completely. Some other benefits you may not think of is, you know, having a proper bite is important for everyday things like eating and speaking. And you hear people talk about TMJ problems.
I was going to say that. So, I was going to say that, and I thought, oh, that's too out there.
It's all tied in. So there's many things that contribute to TMJ problems. The bite is one of them, and so in some cases, it's a major player in it. And so there's basically we're the epicenter of everything in life.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dr. Brad Jennings. What's your website? Do you have a website for your office or your practice?
I sure do. It is drjenningsortho.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much and for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And this show and other shows will be available next week on MomTalkRadio.com. Take care, Dr. Jennings. And when we come back, we're joined by Caroline Makepeace, is the co-founder of Why Travel Blog, one of the world's biggest travel blogs. Stay with us.
This is Mom Talk Radio, the number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to welcome Caroline Makepeace. She's the co-founder with her husband, Craig, of whytravelblog.com, and that's the letter Y. It's one of the world's biggest travel blogs, and I took a look before the show, and it is a beautiful website, and it's just so inspirational. I just want to pack my bags. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Caroline.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary.
So you're road tripping around the U.S. with two of your two daughters. Give me their ages and when you started and a quick recap of your journey so far.
Sure. My daughters are 10 and 6, and we have been in the U.S. A year and about 2 weeks. 1 week, actually. We started in Hawaii, and we had 2 weeks there. And then since then, we flew over to the eastern part of the country, and we have been road tripping around. So we've done Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama. We just were at Mardi Gras in New Orleans, which was fun, and nice. New York. And my daughter and I just went to Chicago for St. Patty's Day.
Oh, that's a great place to be. That's where my husband's family's from. When you say road tripping, are you in an RV? Are you just renting cars? Where's your mode of transportation?
Yeah, at the moment, while we explore the East Coast, we have our own minivan, and we have a home base in Raleigh that we come in and out of. Because we arrived and everything was hectic when we first got here, we didn't have time or the resources to get an RV, but that's in our plans for the end of this year when we go west and explore that deeply. So we'll get an RV for then.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. And you know, I've been to Europe, and of course Australia is the same thing. I mean, we live in pretty big countries but when you talk about Europe, you can cross pretty much, like we're in South Florida. When you go 9 hours in Europe, you probably hit like four or five countries. So when you get out, it's a big country to explore, especially when you get out west and all those open spaces. So, I, for one, am just jealous. So, let's talk a little bit about traveling with kids. Obviously you're on a pretty epic journey. Let's say you're going to just take a regular week or two vacation or even a long weekend. What advice do you give, let's say, for parents of toddlers?
Yeah, a toddler, I feel, is one of the most challenging ages to travel with because they have just found their legs. It's hard to keep an eye on them. They're also still fussy with eating. They could be in diapers, and you've got to, you know, think about nap time and all of that. So you don't really want to do too much when you travel with a toddler, and you want to be aware that your sensory experiences for them and the change is not too much for them. So look at more those experiences that are closer to home, perhaps road tripping. We were going to trek around Southeast Asia when my youngest was 17 months, and we did a short trip to Thailand and realized that that was going to be a really bad idea, that she was at the wrong age for that kind of adventure. So we switched to road tripping, which is perfect for toddlers.
Right. I mean, that would have been a very brave, I would say, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's just the wrong age for the wrong region.
Yeah, I read a blog years, this is years ago when my kids were little. It was, I think a couple had gone to Paris with their toddler, and they said, you just have to adjust your expectations, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You really, you just have to kind of let go of control a little bit and travel very slowly. It's really important that you give your child the rest time and yourself as well, because it is pretty crazy.
It's exhausting, right? So what? So after toddlers, your girls are older than that, obviously. So is this a good age to travel with them? What age did you say they were? 10 and?
10 and 6. Age?
10 and 6. Yeah. Good ages, bad ages? And what are the pros and cons of those ages?
Oh, look, for most people, one of the cons would be looking at school and how, planning your travels around that. For us, we homeschool, so it's not so much of an issue. But it's a wonderful age to travel with them. You know, they're a little bit more independent and confident, more aware of the world they're engaging with. And can do more as well. There was a lot of tours when we were traveling with our younger one, a lot of things that she couldn't participate in because she was too young. But now she's 6, she can join us in that, which makes experience better for everyone.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so let's talk really about, we only have about a minute left. Whytravelblog.com. What can our listeners find there? And it's the letter Y, travel blog. What can our listeners find on that blog?
Yeah, we have a lot of tips. So if you're thinking of traveling with a family, come on over. We have a family travel planning toolkit, which you can get access to, which will help you plan travel experiences the whole family will love. And we have a lot of ideas on destinations and experiences that you can have as a family as well.
That's wonderful. And do you have social accounts, social media, Twitter, Facebook, any of that?
Yes,
Instagram?
Yes, and YouTube, Instagram, and it's all at WhyTravelBlog.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Caroline Makepeace, and good luck with your travels. And
you give updates
on your blog as well. You give updates on your travel, where you've been. Yeah.
Yeah,
of course,
absolutely.
Right?
Yep. Yes, we have a lot of content.
Have you been to Florida? That's my last question.
Yes, we were at Universal in November. Which
oh,
was great.
Awesome.
My daughter's a mad Harry Potter fan, so she was ecstatic to be there. Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I'm glad you made it to the Sunshine State. That's whytravelblog.com. Thank you so much, Caroline, for joining us. And after this quick break, we'll wrap up the show.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
We're going to be talking about food and a wonderful new cookbook out by author Frances Largman Roth. She's RDN, and she's a New York Times bestselling author and nationally recognized health expert. And I can't even read all of the national TV and Food Network accolades you've received. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Frances.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So when did your latest cookbook launch? It's called Eating in Color, Delicious Healthy Recipes for You and Your Family. When did you launch it?
Eating in Color came out in 2014, and I've been preaching the message ever since.
Great. So what is the message? Give us the top. It sounds great because I know I've heard a lot about that, especially with kids, like make their plates really colorful and fun and then they're also, eating more healthier vegetables, et cetera. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, exactly. Well, I'm a dietitian, right? So I was coming at things from the standpoint of, eat your broccoli and eat your peas because they're so good for you. And then it took me a while to really understand that that does not matter to little kids, maybe to teenagers, but it does not matter to little kids. And so if you want them to eat those colorful and nutritious fruits and veggies, really you have to make it about fun, and you have to make it about things that are beautiful to eat and interesting to eat. And I also found that for my oldest daughter, I also had to make it a little bit competitive, and to encourage her to get more color on her plate by saying things like, look at your two-year-old brother. He has three colors on his plate. You only have one, so let's take a few more. So there are so many different ways to kind of encourage people to eat in color. But I really think that showing them the fun of it is a great way to go. And it also works for adults as well as for kids.
Yes, no doubt. So picky eaters have been, a topic of discussion with moms for eons, probably. And you mentioned that there's some tips for picky eaters. Can you give us the top two or three?
Absolutely. So the number one tip is don't give up. Okay. Just continue to offer up the broccoli and the carrots and all the yummy, nutritious stuff. And they will eventually try it, but it may take 15 to 18 times, which sounds crazy. And it makes parents want to pull their hair out, but that is the truth. And in fact, I had actually kind of given up on Brussels sprouts, to be honest. And then my three-year-old said, Mommy, I want some Brussels sprouts. And so it kind of just reaffirmed the fact that you just have to keep offering it, because you never know what day they're going to suddenly say, yeah, right, okay, I think I will try it. And it doesn't mean that they're going to love it, even if they try it. But the whole point is to really develop your child's palate so that they do include more variety in their diet. And that means more nutrients as well.
Right. So, and tell me about, you said one of your tips is add sweets to the proteins.
Yes. So that is something that HelloFresh discovered when they did they recently did a survey, because they came out with their newly launched family plan. And so they wanted to see what families really wanted, what they were really eating. And the number one protein is pork, which was surprising, because they thought that it would be chicken.
Right.
And what they're finding is that kids really love the flavor of pork, because it does pair well with things that are sweet, like apples and sweet potatoes. So,
right.
And that's easy to do. You can give it a honey glaze or use apple jam. And it's just kind of interesting to know that it's not just the chicken fingers and the grilled cheese and things like that. Kids really do like other things. They also love crispy. So that same survey showed that many of the favorites on the HelloFresh menu are things that are crispy. So you can use that to your advantage. You can top everything from fish to sweet potatoes and everything in between if that's something that your kid really loves.
Right. That's very good. Very good points. And I think we all like crispy, don't we? Like you said,
most
it could be for kids
do.
And their
yeah.
parents. Yeah. So the cookbook is called Eating in Color, Delicious Healthy Recipes for You and Your Family, and it's available everywhere. All where books are sold, the big ones online as well, correct?
Absolutely.
Great. So, and then we have about 30 seconds to go, and HelloFresh.com is also, give us about 30 seconds on what HelloFresh is.
Yeah, so HelloFresh is a meal delivery service, and you can sign up for the meals that you want, and they do have this awesome family plan, which has recipes that are geared more to families and also serves four as opposed to serving two.
Right.
And also has some other fun stuff for kids. So check them out, and also check out my website, which is FrancisLargemanRoth.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you everyone for listening to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. Check out MomTalkRadio.com for this show and other past shows. And also follow us on Facebook at Mom Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.